The next case is number 181748, Poly Group Limited versus Willis Electric. Again, Mr. Anger.
May it please the court. Like the prior appeal, the overarching issue of this appeal is the claim construction of modular artificial tree.
This case does not involve, if I understand it from both sides' briefs, the issue that we've been discussing about rotatable.
Is that correct, Your Honor? It does not.
Okay.
But it involves some of the same claim construction issues, because here what the majority did is it construed modular artificial tree. First, it found that to be limiting of the claims, even though there's no basis for that. And then it read in the construction of tree portion from the 186 patent to require non-detachable branches. And on that basis, the majority rejected prior art that clearly taught all the other claim elements based on their improper construction. And that error really infected the rest of the court's the majority's decision-making. And thus, reversal on claim construction here supports vacating the rest of the majority's decision. In addition, as we pointed out in our brief, further, the majority erred in its consideration of the combination that was actually proposed by Polygon.
Let me just start similarly to where we started last time. If we agree with you on claim construction and that the board has imported overly narrow limitations that require these branches to be non-detachable, why isn't the board's finding that there would be no motivation to combine the Vicarious with Corn Gold incorrect?
Because, Your Honor, the board failed to consider the actual combination we proposed. DiVicaris and Corn Gold both teach connectors held within the trunk sections. DiVicaris doesn't clearly teach how it's held in there, and one of the claim limitations is it needs to be securable in at least four rotational alignments. So we looked at Corn Gold, which does, we believe, teach that. But, Your Honor, and so the combination we proposed was you would combine DiVicaris with Corn Gold's snug fit teaching, not the actual connectors, and just rely on that. And as the dissent pointed out, it's sort of an unremarkable proposition that interference fit was well known for securing connectors, and I think the dissent said it's not even in dispute. Instead of considering that combination, however, the majority addressed a combination that was created by Willis. Willis argued that we were trying to, that our combination was the bodily incorporation of Corn Gold connectors into DiVicaris. And that's not what was, and so the majority never actually even addressed our proposed construction. So it's erroneous in the fact that they didn't consider what we had proposed. So any motivation to combine, Your Honor, going to that issue that you just asked about, the motivation combined they were considering was whether you would combine DiVicaris with the bodily incorporate the connectors from Corn Gold. That's not what we proposed. So they didn't actually consider the motivation to combine of the facts that were presented to them through our evidence and arguments.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Turning to the claim construction issue, this is sort of the overarching issue. And this is, well, actually, move on.
There's no issue of secondary considerations in this case?
No, Your Honor. In the prior case, secondary considerations only applies to a few claims. It's not all the claims. But here it doesn't apply at all. In the other case, it applies to independent claims of the 186 and 187 patents. So only six claims. It does not apply to anything else. But it does not. That does not apply here. Your Honor, on the claim construction issue, like with tree portion in the other case, here the majority made several errors, which we've highlighted in our briefing, but I was going to focus on three of them. One is that they concluded that the modular artificial tree needs to be limiting of the claims, but they provide no basis for that other than to argue that that it's necessary to provide context for the claims. But if you look at the claims themselves, the claims clearly have a structurally complete invention by themselves. In fact, Willis, as to claim 5, didn't even argue that it was not a structurally complete invention or that it required construction of the preamble. The majority's construction also results in claim differentiation problems and renders various claim language redundant. For example, claim 5 they read in this modular artificial tree to read in branches and light strings. But Claim 5 already recites branches and light strings. And in fact, Claim 5 also already recites tree section, which the majority construed to read in branches and light strings. So you have double redundancy in Claim 5. In addition, the court's construction reads branches and lights into Claim 1, which doesn't recite those elements. 379 patent is really directed more at the connections between the trunk sections, not at the complete tree. It reads branches and light strings into Claim 1, even though Claim 7 and 9, which are dependent on Claim 1, later add those elements. Thus, it violates claim differentiation principles. And both in this case and in the prior case, the majority's ultimate construction of modular artificial tree is indefinite. Throughout the final written decisions, the majority gives various different interpretations of what the modular artificial tree is or what the tree portion is. And each time, it always includes branches and a trunk section, sometimes lights.
Can I take you back to, I think I want to make sure I understand exactly what we were talking about on the earlier points about what Korngold teaches in combination with De Vicaris.
Okay.
I find this very, very hard to follow. But the board found that Korngold didn't teach an interference fit, right?
Correct.
Not all the claims require an
interference fit. Correct.
Some of them do, but some of them don't.
Correct. You're right.
What happens to the claims if we find that the board's decision on Korngold not teaching an interference fit is supported by substantial evidence? Does that mean that those three or four dependent claims would still be valid?
If you agree with the court's construction of the interference fit, then that would uphold those claims 12, 15, and 32. Yes, Your Honor.
But the rest of them, assuming we agree with you on the broader claim construction, and then that the
correct.
The board has misread your motivation to combine analysis, those would all be reversed, or do we need to vacate and remand?
I would say vacate and remand, Your Honor. And on those, Korngold was described as having an interference tight fit, but whether it is in fact an interference fit or not doesn't matter at all, except with respect to claims 12, 15, and 32. That's absolutely right.
Okay.
Your Honor, it was in the middle of claims construction, so I'll go back briefly. Both modular artificial tree and tree portion are indefinite, as I was explaining. One of the ways they're most indefinite is that in neither decision does the majority address how the branches are attached to the trunk sections. And that's important because the claim language actually used in both patents used joined to, coupled to, attached to, all terms that allow some detachability. But the majority's interpretation requires that these be non-detachable branches. And on that basis, it rejects, in this case, De Vicaris and Hicks, and in the other case, Miller and Hicks, even though, as the dissent pointed out, each of those teach artificial trees that have branches that can be affixed to the tree section. In fact, I think the way the dissent points it out is it's undisputed that the branches have at least a snug fit sufficiently to secure the branches onto the trunk sections, and thus they meet even the majority's construction of those terms. Your Honor, turning to the interference fit construction that we were just talking about, we believe the majority erred in its construction of that as well. The majority adopted a construction that includes deforming, and by adopting that construction that requires some sort of deforming to form the interference fit, it excludes one of the embodiments set forth in the specification. That embodiment is the interference fit between tubular sections. One embodiment in the specification clearly discloses some deformation as part of forming the interference fit, but the other one does not.
Does that embodiment necessarily relate to the dependent claims that require an interference fit, or could it relate to the other claims that just require some other kind of fit that's not an interference
fit? Your Honor, there are only a few examples of how interference fit is used in the specification.
Is there testimony suggesting interference fit does mean the deformity?
There's disputed testimony on that, yes, Your Honor.
Isn't that your problem? We're on a substantial evidence review.
Your Honor, on claim construction, of course, there's no deference given to the
Sure, but there are underlying factual determinations, I know, but, you know, if we have an expert that says that isn't...
Sure.
I guess we can de novo read on our own whether interference...
Right, I understand, Your Honor, but here the intrinsic evidence belies the extrinsic evidence, and that, under the Phillips analysis, is what this court needs to rely on, or actually the majority should rely on, which is the intrinsic evidence of the specification, which shows that a non-deformation is part of the interference fit under the patent. Your Honor, unless there are any other questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Alton.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I please support? I'm Maria Alton on behalf of Willis Electric.
So there's no issue of secondary considerations in this case, right?
No secondary considerations were submitted in the 379 patent case. That is correct.
And this case doesn't involve the rotatability issue that we were talking about in the other case?
No.
Yes, it doesn't?
Yes, it does not.
Okay. Go ahead.
Your Honor, I did want to address the issue related to motivation to combine and interference fit. If you look at the appendix at 36, the motivation that was articulated to combine Korngold with Divacaris, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, was the interference fit. So there's a paragraph of the petition at 19 to 20 that's quoted by the board in their final decision on this proceeding, and they discuss the fact that the interference fit of Korngold is given as the reason to combine with Divacaris. If there's no, obviously, interference fit disclosed by Korngold, that would mean that the motivation to combine fails. So with respect to any Divacaris and Korngold combination, as well as those combinations or those disclosures that require us to find an interference fit, the panel concluded, based on substantial evidence, I would posit that Korngold doesn't allow that combination. With respect to tree section and modular artificial tree or modular lighted artificial tree, the panel exhaustively examined the party's contentions regarding whether or not the preambles were limiting and also what it means to be a modular artificial tree. Modular is a word that can modify more than one noun, obviously, but in the case of modular artificial trees, the panel concluded, based upon the intrinsic and extrinsic evidence, that that has to mean that they're separable tree sections that a user can assemble and manipulate in order to put together the tree that's at issue in the 379 patents. That's supported by the specification, which expressly talks about users' manipulation of those sections as unitary sections. Despite the argument of my friend here at council table, we dispute whether the asserted references could be handled or manipulated in that way, because the modular aspect of the claim language denotes some sort of unitary functioning of those objects. The branches and the other components of a tree section or the other aspects of the tree that the user manipulates aren't designed to be removed or readily removable. And I don't believe that there is any dispute that whatever they say about the attachment or ability to attach the branches, that they're not, in fact, readily removable. They are readily removable. And there's nothing on the face of the patent that discusses any embodiment that has these sort of separable aspects so that the item can't be manipulated as tree sections. And I think, as the panel correctly noted, most of the claims here at issue just relate to or expressly claim the trunk with the connector housing inside of the trunk body, rather than what anybody would call a tree. So if the remainder of the claim elements don't disclose a tree, I think that the preamble has been found to be limiting under a number of Federal Circuit cases. I just want to make sure that I was correct in my review of the rotatability components of the 379 claims. The appellant has raised this issue with regard to whether or not the claims are rendered indefinite or whether or not unclaimed subject matter has been inferred to the claims by the claim construction. In fact, the claim construction simply relates to whether the preamble is limiting or not. The differentiated claiming in each of the remainder of the elements, I think, doesn't distinguish whether or not there's either a problem with not being able to understand the claims or whether or not the claims are rendered indefinite in some way, because the claims themselves sometimes don't have branches and sometimes do. But what does not change is whether or not what's being claimed is an artificial tree. They've also raised an argument that the panel was incorrect to raise raise and construe the modular lighted artificial tree or tree section language of Claim 5. There's no error here in consideration of the panel by Claim 5's preamble. This is not a case like FAF where there was some indication given in the institution decision that was then changed midstream. It's also not like evasive. Because in this case, the appellant had actual notice and an opportunity to provide evidence and testimony on the meaning of what a tree section is and to participate in a discussion of the meaning of the claim term for modular tree portion. They were heard. The evidence that was submitted by them was considered by the panel. The panel adopted the construction that had been proposed by the patent owner in this case, and they don't contend that they would have offered something different or that there's any prejudice as a result of this particular distinction made by the panel in accordance with Western Graco. The question under the APA is the receipt of notice and the ability to participate in the proceedings, and I don't think they dispute that they had either of those things. Because there were a number of different proceedings that were before the panel, and argument in all of the proceedings related to these claim terms, they were provided notice and the opportunity to respond and provide arguments. I'll note that the party that brought the word modular as a claim term forward was actually the appellant. Unless there are any questions by the panel, I can submit on the briefs.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Engel.
Two very brief points, Your Honor. First, a friend argued about a reason to combine issue, and again, argued that because the board of majority concluded that Cornwell didn't teach an interference fit, that there was no reason to combine. As we were just discussing a moment ago, that only relates to claims 12, 15, and 32. The majority, actually the entire board and its institution decision, acknowledged that Cornwell does teach a snug fit, which is sufficient for purposes of the teaching that we're trying to combine with Vivacaris.
Well, I find this very confusing. I just want to clarify and make sure what I think about your argument is what you are actually arguing. Your problem with the board's conclusion on this motivation to combine is they misunderstood your argument about Korngold and focused on Korngold's actual electric connectors and saying you would have subbed them in when that's not your argument. Your argument is that Korngold shows the connection between the fitting and the electrical and the pipe. And therefore, that's where they mistakenly find that Korngold doesn't disclose that when Korngold clearly has a circular pipe and a circular thing, which
that's
has to show that.
Absolutely correct.
So that's why they lack substantial evidence on that point.
Right.
That still doesn't get to the interference connection issue.
Correct, which is a separate inquiry as to those three claims. Absolutely, you're right.
Okay.
And the only other point I was going to make, unless there are any other questions, is that both in this case and in the other case, there were a number of places where the majority adopted arguments on behalf of Willis that Willis didn't make. And here, it was with respect to Hicks, Willis below did not dispute that Hicks teaches a modular artificial tree as a claim 5. Nevertheless, the majority adopted arguments on behalf of Willis that Willis didn't even make, and the poly group had no opportunity to respond to, and thus violating this court's decision in Mack and Oil.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank both counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes our session for this morning.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.